live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. Donal Kavanagh at the Highland Radio News Desk. In this bulletin, the manager of Corcommon, Hori Cho, has issued a statement on behalf of people on the island following what's been described as a difficult meeting and vote at the weekend on the ongoing ferry dispute. It's been decided to accept the recommendations of mediator Paul O'Gallagher in what was a very close vote. Donegal County Council has revealed that last year the collection of commercial rates increased to 74%, up from 68% in 2016. We'll have a full report. The Justice Minister faces threat of strike action by mid-ranking Gardaí when he attends their conference this evening. And there was drama at today's sitting of Donegal County Council with intensive discussion over the future of the site surrounding St. Catherine's Well in Killybegs. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with PJ Lynch. That'll be coming up at around 5:15 this evening. The manager of Corcommon, Hori Cho, has issued a statement on behalf of the people of Tory Island following what's been described as a difficult meeting and vote at the weekend. The vote took place on Saturday at the request of Paul O'Gallagher, who's been appointed as mediator in the ongoing ferry dispute. According to today's statement, when the votes were counted, people living on the island agreed to Mr. O'Gallagher's proposal by 67 to 53 with one abstention. When the votes of those not permanently resident but with property on the island were calculated, 45 agreed and 50 disagreed. The agreement will entail a 12-seater fast ferry operating alongside the Queen of Arran from this weekend, with islanders stressing they were voting on the overall O'Gallagher proposal and not simply on accepting the Queen of Arran. Earlier today, Donegal councillor and Islands Committee member Micheál Colmigal-Osbach said Rinn na Gaeltachta had created division on the island. He's now hopeful that the island can progress.
What's on the table now is, and what the Rinn and them will be moving now to make sure, and Paul O'Gallagher, to my understanding, will be overseeing this until it's finalised, which is another contract for a fast ferry to run in, alongside the Queen of Arran. The Maharoti Pier, there's a new crane which was badly needed on Tory. There's more barge service. There's an extra month or two of a helicopter service. I've also agreed that from now on, any contracts going out to tender on any of our islands, the Rinn will consult what the core commons, not just in Tory, but on the other islands.
And that was Councillor Micheál Colmigal-Osbach speaking there on the 9 till noon show earlier today. Donegal County Council has confirmed that last year the collection of commercial rates increased to 74%. That's up from 68% in 2016. Director of Finance Gary Martin acknowledged this increase, saying it significantly rose over the past number of years despite less favourable economic climate for small businesses in the county. He noted that while tourism generated income has increased, Donegal's border location presents additional challenges, including currency fluctuations and the current uncertainty surrounding Brexit. With more, here's Trish Laverty.
5,409 commercial properties in Donegal were billed for commercial rates last year with a net value of €30.4 million. €24.6 million was collected. Finance Director Gary Martin says the council is pleased with the progress made over the last number of years, as commercial rates are an essential income stream for the council, funding a broad range of services. In a report to today's meeting of Donegal County Council, it was noted that rates to the value of €6.5 million were deemed to be irrecoverable in 2017. This included €3.3 million for vacant properties and €3.2 million, which have been deemed as uncollectible.
There was drama at today's sitting of Donegal County Council with intensive discussion over the future of the site surrounding St. Catherine's Well in Killybegs. The local authority presented the town plan today, which included 757 submissions from the community. 721 were in favour of the plan in its draft format. The rest wanted zoned for redevelopment. It led to a number of councillors raising conflicting views on the issue. Well, a proposal submitted by local councillor Niamh Kennedy will now proceed to the next stage. Councillor Kennedy believes that a solution is possible. Earlier, she spoke to Catherine Gaffney.
It's basically industry versus community, which it shouldn't be. And we don't want it to be like that. And I think everybody needs to work together. So I propose to amend the zoning of the areas surrounding the well and the complex, the archaeological complex, to a 40 metres of a buffer zone around the outside of the old Famine Road, which is an old walkway, and that the lands toward the port and the new pier the from that buffer zone are now designated as opportunity and port related, which will satisfy the harbour authorities, and it'll satisfy the fishermen, and hopefully then the community will be satisfied with the 40 metre buffer zone as well. So I'm there's definitely a solution in this, and I'm very pleased to be able to put this forward, because I think that we need to work together, and each community must respect each other, and I think this is the way forward.
And it is important for it to be resolved. As you say, it has been going on for quite some time.
It has indeed. It started back many years ago when there was a housing development in the area first, and then obviously then in later years then the new harbour development was done, and the little site started to kind of become stuck in the middle of it all, and it became under a little bit of pressure. On my proposal, I have included that there be an independent, up-to-date, relevant hydrology report on all excavations and land clearings for the future, because it must be protected.
And that was Councillor Niamh Kennedy, and there's more from Councillor Kennedy on our website, highlandradio.com. The former Bishop of Raphoe has been appointed Apostolic Administrator of the Catholic Diocese of Dromore. The diocese covers parts of Antrim, Armagh and Down. Bishop Philip Boyce was appointed to the post today after Pope Francis accepted the resignation of Bishop John McAreevy. Bishop McAreevy resigned at the beginning of March after it emerged he had celebrated Mass alongside a priest he knew was a paedophile. Father Malachy Finnegan, who died in 2002, has been accused of sex abuse by 12 people and also accused of physical and emotional abuse while he taught at St Coleman's College in Newry. Up to 12 Gardaí have died by suicide since August, and mid-ranking Gardaí want action on the issue. The Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors is meeting today in Tullow, County Carlow. Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan is due there this evening. The Vice President of the AGSI is Donegal-based Sergeant Paul Wallace. He says there needs to be more support available for Gardaí.
We've lost a number of people over the last number of years, and particularly the last year, and it's of concern to us. We have a 24/7 counselling service, but it needs to be expanded, needs to be resourced. We also are looking for the help and assistance of a clinical psychologist, somebody who would be there that people could go to and receive treatment or help or assistance, whatever they require.
Well, when Minister Charlie Flanagan arrives at the AGSI's conference this evening, he'll be facing the threat of strike action by members. He'll also face calls for additional sergeants and inspectors to cope with the additional Garda recruitment of recent years. With more details, Juliet Gash reports from County Carlow.
A strike by two Garda associations was narrowly avoided in late 2016, but the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors is disappointed that it's still legally prevented from striking. While she wouldn't be drawn on specifics ahead of her speech this evening, ACSI President Antoinette Cunningham said the matter would be raised before the Justice Minister.
I think we have a number of issues that we have to discuss with the Minister around strike and strike action. We have a number of issues around resourcing. We have a number of issues around staffing and supervision. But most importantly for this year, it's about the wellness and well-being of our members.
Mid-ranking Gardaí are concerned about the rise in suicides in the force and want a prevention programme. There's also a call for additional sergeants and inspectors, in particular to cope with the influx in recent years of probationer Gardaí. Sergeant Cunningham says there's long been an awareness of the consequences of a lack of supervision, one of the issues being investigated by the Disclosures Tribunal at present.
These are flagged back, I'd say, in the early 2000s, certainly in the Changing Policing in Ireland report by the inspectors in 2015, by the O'Higgins Commission in 2016, and by AGSI for a long number of years.
And that was Albert Cunningham ending that report from Juliet Gash. A man who's reportedly been forced out of his home in Kilcar by immigration officials has been released on bail. Vikram Sharma, also known as Ricky, has become an active member of the community in Kilcar. He's involved in local festivals, tidy towns and many community events. He's been released into the care of local man Martin Byrne. The focus now turns on his asylum application. Mr. Sharma is due back in court in May, when Martin Byrne has been giving Greg Hughes an update on the situation on today's 9 till noon show.
He's released on bail to live with me for the foreseeable future. He's in court again on the 28th of May. So between now and then, we have to try and look for his asylum. Now, it's going to be difficult, of course, but we'll try our best for him. We had to pay a small bond for him to get released and everything. So, I mean, the whole community is behind him, so hopefully we can be successful in this whole thing. I mean, the poor man, anyone in our village, we're only a very small town, everyone knows him. And if you'd have seen him walking into the court today, he was so afraid. He thought he was going home. Now, he would love to go back to India, but if he could travel, you know, but he loves Kilcar, he loves Ireland, loves the whole community.
There were 10 people awaiting admission to Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, according to the INMO's latest Trolley Watch report, four of them on trolleys in the emergency department. Nationally, 473 people awaiting inpatient beds at hospitals across the country, the largest number 62 at University Hospital in Limerick. Artist and former RTE presenter Kevin Sharkey has thrown his hat into the ring for the next presidential election. He hopes to become Ireland's first black president. Mr. Sharkey grew up in Killybegs. He intends to speak to local representatives across the country and seek their support. Earlier today, he spoke to Highland Radio.
My decision to go for the presidency was based on looking at all the options over the last few years and feeling that that was the one that would suit me best, that I could do most for Ireland through. Politics can be very limiting, as you know. You know, we've gotten a stage now where the two main parties, it's hard to tell them apart. You know, the general policy is, and, you know, this is the thing I would point out to you. Ireland is a small country, and nobody will deny anybody a better life, but we cannot afford to give everybody a better life. And the numbers which we're currently dealing with, and the numbers which are predicted, you know, these are a lot of people coming to a system which is already under strain, and I don't feel good about that. I think that you have to, at some stage, take a step back and ask, who elected you, who put you there, and whose responsibility, you know, whose rights are you responsible for protecting?
The judge in the trial of two Ireland rugby players accused of rape has told the jury that inconsistencies in a person's account doesn't mean it's untrue. Paddy Jackson and his Ulster teammate Stuart Olding deny raping the same 19-year-old student at a party in Jackson's South Belfast home in June 2016. From Belfast, courts correspondent Frank Rainey has this report, which does contain some details of a graphic nature.
The woman claims Paddy Jackson raped her on his bed before Stuart Olding joined in and forced her to perform oral sex on him. She initially told friends she'd been raped by three Ulster rugby scum and later said it was two. Their friend Blaine McElroy is accused of exposing himself to her. The woman initially said he took off his trousers after he came into the room, but told the court he walked in completely naked. In relation to these and other inconsistencies, Judge Patricia Smith warned the jurors not to make the assumption her evidence to them is untrue just because she said something different to someone else. She said a person's memory in these cases can be affected in different ways and may have a bearing on one's ability to take it in, register it and recall it. Frank Rainey at Belfast Crown Court.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Club Championships.
14 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock, we say good evening to PJ Lynch.
Good evening, Donal. We'll start with soccer, and the Republic of Ireland under 15 girls took part in the Bob Doherty Cup tournament over the weekend and won the final today by beating England 2-1. Erin McLaughlin of Cairn Donagh Community School scored the winner for the Irish side after coming on as a substitute at half time. Kerry Brown of Mavill Community College also came on as a second half substitute in that one. Karen Henry of Mulroy College is also part of that squad. She's part of the management setup. Staying with soccer, and Finn Harps are looking for their third win in four league games this evening when they travel to United Park in Louth to face Drogheda. Harps are coming off the back of a home win against Wexford last Friday, but manager Ollie Horgan knows his side are up against it.
As I said, they put 8 past Wexford in Wexford last Friday. We luckily got one past them, and them down to 10 men here at home in Balmathea. Like, so, you know, put the two of them together, you know, yeah, we've a mountain to climb up there.
The winners of tonight's game will replace UCD at the top of the First Division, and there will be live updates of that game with Ryan Ferry here on Highland Radio from 7:45 p.m. A home tie with Cork City awaits the winners of tonight's EA Sports Cup meeting of Waterford and UCC. Bohemians welcome Cabinteely to Dalymount, while Shelburne head to the Carlisle grounds to face Bray. Wales have tasted defeat for the first time under Ryan Giggs. Edinson Cavani's goal 4 minutes into the second half saw Uruguay beat the Welsh 1-0 to claim the China Cup. The game was also Cavani's 100th appearance for Uruguay. Mohamed Elneny has signed a new long-term contract with Arsenal. The Egyptian international midfielder has made 65 appearances for the Premier League side since his January 2016 move from Basel. His new deal will keep him at the Emirates until 2022. Our Republic of Ireland 11 will travel to Glasgow to take on Celtic in Scott Brown's testimonial match on Sunday, May 20th. The game in Celtic Park will kick off at 2 p.m. and ignites a busy summer period for Martin O'Neill's squad with the clash with France in Paris on Monday, May 28th and the visit of the United States to the Aviva Stadium on Saturday, June 2nd to follow. In Gaelic Games, Saturday's Allianz Hurling League semi-final meeting of Tipperary and Limerick will throw in at 7 p.m, it's been confirmed. The other semi is on Sunday at Innovate Wexford Park, where Wexford and Kilkenny will have a 2 p.m. start. The outstanding fixtures in the Allianz Football League will be played on Saturday. In Division 2, Down will face Tipperary in Newry and Louth welcome Meath to the Gaelic grounds, with both games starting at 3. The Division 3 and 4 finals will both be played at Croke Park on Saturday, while a final double bill starts at 2 on Sunday, with the Division 2 meeting of Cavan and Roscommon, followed by the Division 1 final meeting of Galway and Dublin. In rugby, Sean O'Brien and Rhys Ruddock are back in contention for Leinster's Champions Cup quarter-final with Saracens. Leinster coach Stuart Lancaster says the news on O'Brien's shoulder is more positive than they were expecting after he was taken off in the recent draw with Scarlets. Jordan Armour is out of Sunday's game at the Aviva due to a calf problem, while Dave Kearney misses out with an arm injury. Fergus McFadden and Jack Conan will be monitored as the week progresses. Hamstring strain has Simon Zeebo rated as touch and go for Munster's Champions Cup quarter-final with Toulon at Thomond Park. Meanwhile, Andrew Conway is still recovering from the knee problem that forced him to miss the Six Nations. Tommy O'Donnell is out of Saturday's game after re-injuring his shoulder in the Pro 14 win over the Scarlets. And Rory Scannell is following the return to play protocols after suffering a head injury in that game. Captain Peter O'Mahony believes they have the squad to cope with their injury crisis.
I suppose it's the nature of rugby, you know, you're never dealing from a full deck. You've always got knocks and bruises, and inevitably it's important people as well, and these are just things you've got to deal with. And look, as you said, if you want to be performing at this level and winning at this level, you've got to have guys, a squad who can come in and perform seamlessly, and you know, we're going to have that at the weekend.
Connacht have handed out 4 more contract extensions. Scrum halves Caelan Blade and Conor McKeown and props Peter McCabe and Dominic Robertson McCoy will all remain at the sports ground next season. In cricket, the body in charge of the sports rules says it's time for a major shift in attitude in the game after the Australian team were caught cheating against South Africa. Marylebone Cricket Club says it welcomes the action by the world governing body to punish skipper Steve Smith and Cameron Bancroft, who was filmed tampering with the ball. Smith admitted to knowing about the plan, and Cricket Australia is investigating what happened in that. And in golf, Hazeltine will become the first US course to host the Ryder Cup twice. It's been confirmed as the home of the 2028 edition of the tournament. The Minnesota course hosted a 17-11 win for the United States in 2016. Le Golf National near Paris will be the stage for this year's Ryder Cup in the last weekend of September. That's all for your sports news. Don't forget, tonight we will have live coverage of the First Division clash between Drogheda United and Finn Harps. Ryan Ferry will be reporting. Kickoff in that one is at 7:45. But for now, it's back to Donal at the news desk.
Thank you, PJ. The price of the average three-bedroom semi in Donegal rose by 8.6% to €95,000 in the last 12 months. That's according to Real Estate Alliance. According to their national survey, prices remained static in the first quarter of the year. There was no change in Donegal prices between December 2017 and this month. Donegal comes in just below the national average across the country. House prices rose by 9%. Michael McElhenney of REA McElhenney Bundoran has been crunching the numbers.
Still represents significant discount from the highs of 2008. What we have noticed is that there is a lack of supply on the market. Brexit and the uncertainty with that as well has also reduced demand somewhat. But with low supply, I would describe prices as stable, not increasing.
And how do you foresee the year ahead, or is it too early to say?
It's uncertainty. Could be a year that would result in prices in Donegal remaining stable throughout the year. Donegal is having difficulties in terms of economy, population growth and other issues, which are restraining factors. But the main thing that's keeping the market strong and stable is the lack of supply of housing for sale.
And of course, this is just judged on a semi-detached property. There's obviously a variety of other properties on the market at present as well.
Yeah, it will be a good representation across all properties to a certain extent. One of the big issues we've noticed in recent times is the absence of second home buyers originating from the Northern Ireland area. That has kind of slowed price growth and is having an effect on the market.
And that was Michael McElhenney there. Detectives at Strand Road in Derry are appealing for information after shots were fired at a car in the Marianas Park area of the city last evening. It was reported that shortly after 20 past 10, shots were fired at the vehicle. It was unoccupied and parked in the area at the time. It was later confirmed there were bullet holes in the bonnet of the car as a result of the attack. No injuries have been reported. Donegal County Council is being urged to write to the Transport Minister requesting additional funding to deal with the condition of some of the roads in Donegal. It follows reports that after recent cold snaps, the condition of some roads has deteriorated significantly, leaving them in a treacherous state. Councillor Gary Doherty says the situation is a crisis. He says measures must be taken to address it.
The state of the roads in our county are deplorable at present, and we are in crisis situation, particularly here for us in the Stranraer Municipal District, and we're crying out for extra funding from the department to try and fix the roads and to allow our citizens to move from home to work to whatever leisure activities they want to do, because at the minute your heart's in your mouth every time you're driving on the road in case you hit a pothole and you damage your car.
We have seen in the recent past this issue being flagged in various parts across the county, and more often than enough, while the local authority want to address these issues, that Irish Water are saying that they have to lay pipes underneath them and so on. What's your view on that?
Well, Irish Water have come back. I've been liaising with Irish Water, particularly around the Twin Towns, Ballybofane, Stranraer, to try and get that process to speed up that process, because they have said that that's what's delaying laying the new water mains in Ballybofane, Stranraer, and then for us to for the main street in Ballybofane, Stranraer to be done. But look, those factors shouldn't come into this, I don't think. That's Ballybofane, Stranraer. The rest of the Stranraer Municipal District is in a terrible state.
And that was Councillor Gary Doherty there. Just looking at weather forecast, it'll be cloudy this evening with outbreaks of rain becoming more persistent and heavier. Southerly winds will freshen, staying wet in most places tonight, and the rain will become more showery as the night goes on. It'll become windy again with strong and gusty westerlies, lows of 5 to 6 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow Tuesday, bright and cool with blustery westerly winds. Some squally showers, probably heavy. Highs tomorrow of 5 to 7 degrees Celsius. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Looking at the closing headlines, and it's been confirmed that the community on Tory Island, by a very narrow margin, has voted in favour of proposals by Paul O'Gallagher, who has been appointed as a mediator in the ongoing ferry dispute. There are now calls for unity, with people saying it's hopeful that the island can progress. Donegal County Council has confirmed the collection of commercial rates increased to 74%. That was up from 68% the previous year. The Director of Finance acknowledged the increase at a meeting today, saying it significantly rose over the past number of years despite less favourable economic conditions. And staying with Donegal County Council, there was drama at today's sitting with intensive discussion over the future of a site close to St Catherine's Well in Killybegs. The town plan was discussed, and there is a proposal to try and address concerns. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 26th of March. The death has taken place of Desmond McDermott, Rossgear, Lifford. His remains will repose at his home from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlough, Lifford at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Coon Wirra, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Margaret Crossan, née Macaulay, Glenfad, Port Hall, Lifford, formerly of Sallows, Letter Barrow. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlough, Lifford at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Kathleen Carberry, née Dunn, 131 Muldener Road, Cloddy, County Derry. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock to St Peter and St Paul's Church, Ballymoney, for Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Hugh Colquhoun, Clare, Donegal Town. Remains reposing at the family home until 10 o'clock and again tomorrow from 2 o'clock to 10:30. Removal from there on Wednesday morning to St Agatha's Church, Clare, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to a charity of your choice, care of any family member. House private, please, on Wednesday morning. The death has occurred of Barry John Fox, 17, Ballygowans Road, Oma, County Tyrone. His remains will repose at the residence of Peggy Eager, Portnason, Ballyshannon, Donegal, from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. tomorrow. Removal on Wednesday morning at 10:30 to arrive at Star of the Sea Church, Bundoran, for Mass of the Resurrection at 11 o'clock. Private cremation to follow. No flowers, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Multiple Myeloma Research, Bridgewater Suite, City Hospital. Care of Patrick McKenna, Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Frank Trodden, 27, Castle Park, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 to Star of the Sea Church, Desertegny, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Donations in lieu of flowers to the Cardiology Department, Letterkenny University Hospital and St Vincent de Paul Society, Cockhill, Buncrana, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Mary Ward, 28 Lisbonny Road, Donnymanna. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ahabrack, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Frank McBrearty, 195 Ardbeithan, St Johnson. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20 going to St Bathan's Church, St Johnson, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with a burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member or Kelly Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Annie Coyle, 5 Liz Owen Avenue, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in the Oratory, Buncrana, at 10 o'clock tomorrow with private cremation afterwards. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Beechhill Manor Residence Comfort Fund. And the death has taken place of Paddy Mullen, Abbey Village, Kilmacrennan, formerly of Drogheda. His remains are reposing at his late residence in Kilmacrennan. Funeral from there at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning to St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in Rathmullen Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight.